Hallelujah. Is there anybody here that sought the Lord? Do you trust them today? Amen. Hallelujah. Church, do you trust them today? Hallelujah. If you're new to a full gospel Pentecostal church, which is what you're in today, if you're watching online, we just had a message from heaven in an unknown tongue. The Bible says that that's because there's an unbeliever or non-believer just kind of seeking today, and you're just not sure. Bible says, I'm going to speak to you today. I'm going to send somebody that speaks in this unknown tongue. And then the Bible says to edify everybody else, that the interpretation will come through the language that we understand. And here, of course, primarily English. And then so God sends someone, lays it on their heart. And this is not something that we made up, church. It's all through God's word. And you can go to the New Testament in Acts chapter 2. The church of Jesus Christ was birthed, founded on this. Founded on this. All denominations, all religions throughout the world that serves the Lord thy God, the church was founded. Whether they believe it or not, the church was founded. Not only the church of Jesus Christ, but the individual movements and denominations and religions are all founded on this. You go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it talks about the giftings of it. The people that you just heard this morning are gifted in that. God gave them that gift to do it. You know, we embrace it. We don't run from it. We don't call it something that's evil. We say, God, if that's what you want for us, that's what you have for us, I'm good with that. Is there anybody else that believes that today? Yeah. And we talk about this thing and we sing about trusting God, trusting heaven, right? And there's that phrase in that song that is so biblical. It says, I sought the Lord. I went after him. I tracked him down. I went after him. I sought the Lord. And then it talks about the response of heaven. He heard you. I heard you. But you notice I'm seeking. I hear you. Now I'm coming to get you. Now I'm coming. Church, I'm telling you right now, there's a shifting going on. And we're talking about that in our series, this divine shift. And God's got you right where he wants you, and he's going to shift you to where he needs you to be at this season in your life. Just hold on, because we're going to have a great time today. But before we do that, we're going to go into an attitude of communion. We're going to go into an attitude of communion. So if you came in today and you did not get a cup, please see one of the first impressions team, or out the back, you'll see the tables that have the emblems. You'll need to get one of those. If the first impressions team sees somebody that doesn't have one, they will track you down. But I'm going to ask you to be seated as we move into an attitude of communion. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us when to do it. The Bible doesn't say specifics other than we remember to do it. We remember because the Bible talks about that. You know, this series that we're in, church, it's called Divine Shift. And communion was a powerful divine shift. The Last Supper, which we celebrate this morning, where Jesus got together. As he sat around a table and had dinner, supper, with his closest friends. And started speaking to them. He was speaking to them that there's a shift coming. It's through the Bible. And then he explains what's going to happen. And he says this statement, I want you to remember this night. And every time you get together around a table and you break bread and you do this, in the Bible it says, in remembrance of me. And that's exactly what we're going to do this morning. Church, you should have got yourself a little cup with a wafer in it when you came in today. The wafer's on the one end, the juice is on the other. Communion is open to all believers. If you're a believer today and the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, you certainly are welcomed. If you're seeking today, sit tight. We've got some great things for you today. And Jesus gets together with his friends around the table. And unbeknownst to them and unbeknownst to a lot of us today, there's a shift coming in their life. Divinely shifting from where they're at to where God's going to have them go. They didn't get it at that time. They didn't understand. They knew that they were in the presence of something different. And God was asking them to start thinking differently. So it says in God's word in 1 Corinthians, it says, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took some bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he said, this is my body and I am going to give this to you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's pray together. Lord God, in Jesus' name. Lord God, we give thanks today for a broken body that you sacrificed, Lord, so I could stand here and preach and be free spiritually. That we could gather around this table and see a shift in our lives that you ordained. Lord God, we thank you for this bread that represents a broken body. In the mighty name of Jesus, we remember. Amen. Church, partake together. Hallelujah. In the same way, the scripture says, after supper, he took a cup, just like the one that's symbolically represented to you today. He says, this is a new covenant. That means there is a shift divinely showing up. From a law to grace. And he says this blood represents that shift. And he says, whenever you drink it in the future, do this in remembrance of me. So church, before we drink, let's pray this blood that represents a shift from a law to grace. And you sit in a church today under the grace of Jesus Christ's forgiveness because a shift took place. Father God, thank you. We do remember, Lord. Father God, I thank you that you sacrificed and your blood was shed. And Lord God, as we drink of the cup today, we remember. And we thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Church, let's partake together. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I feel better already. All right. Oh, hallelujah. Wow. Good morning, Cross Point Church. Good morning to you that are watching online. We have so many people watching online, even more today. It's kind of amazing. We are now broadcasting on so many platforms, so welcome to all those on the Facebook side, those watching on the online campus at seapoint.church side. Goodness, there's people on YouTube watching us this morning. Thank you so much. Next week, I guess we're going to be pushed back a little bit. We'll be broadcasting on TikTok. They've come to us, the church, and asked us if we'd start broadcasting live. So who's going to say no? We're not going to push out the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? We thought that was going to be a couple weeks ago, but they've delayed in getting some technical things to the church that we have to do that. So we are certainly encouraged to get that started. Thank you if you're listening on the podcast that the church puts out every week. We do a podcast. I'm sure you could download that on the App Store from either the Android side or your iPhone side. If you have a flip phone, you can't download it. So I encourage you to get a new phone, right? Get a new phone. My dad's 88, 89 years old. I was talking to him this past week, and I said, I'll text you. I said, wait, can't text you. He said, yeah, I can receive a text. I just don't know how to respond. I said, hey, I'm just happy you have a phone. He said, well, I have one of these flip phones, and I'm not getting one of those smartphones, so don't even talk to me about that. So I said, okay, Pop. Hey, I'm just happy he has a phone, right? Hey, I wanted to give you an update. You know, a week or so ago, we had to postpone our missions trip down to Cincinnati to Bridge the Gap Ministries. I talked about that, why we had to do that, and they got a relocate their ministry, and they've done that again the second time in like a couple months. And so we delayed that. A couple of our people, a few of them had to pull out and were unable to travel. But I failed to mention that we did have a team go there. And I am so sorry about that, but James White took a team down there on Tuesday and Wednesday to do one specific thing. They went after the group home that Bridge the Gap Ministries has, and they took their expertise of construction and building and things that I know absolutely nothing about, and they went down there and they blessed them and was remodeling the home. James, thank you. Thank you so much. I mean, I didn't mean to leave them out, but they were down there, and I was just so impressed. I kept sending pictures back, and I think I recognized one thing they were doing. They were installing some type of internal drain in the basement, and I think that's what it was. I don't know what it's called, but it's some kind of internal drain. And I only know it because I had one installed in my home like many years ago because we had water. So I thought, I know that. I hope that's what it was. That's what it looked like. And so we are so appreciative that they had the opportunity to go down and bless them. Then, this past couple of days, we had some ladies go to Time Apart. Time Apart stands for Time Without My Husband, right? So means time with Jesus, really. But, you know, Pastor Mike mentioned the struggles he's had the last couple of days because his wife was out of the home and she was getting refreshed and whatnot. And Mike was getting refreshed with the kids and doing all those things, right? So there was some refreshing going on. Ladies, thank you so much for peeling off a couple of days going to the Heartland Retreat Center down north of Columbus, the Assemblies of God. Here in Ohio, we have the best campground in the United States. If you've never been there, you need to go. There were 720 some odd ladies there. And let me tell you, what I saw online, I was watching the broadcast, I was watching them, and I was watching all the pictures and all the things that the ladies were putting up on their Facebook pages. I was just so encouraged that they were having a great time. Ladies, I pray that you came back with some Jesus for this church, right? Something new, something fresh that we don't have right now. So if you see some changes in our ladies, you'll know exactly why. And you'll also know there's a change because all of them, or most of them, I guess, they went down the zip line. Yeah, the campground has this big zip line, and they experienced the zip line. Has anybody else in the church, tell me how many people have been to Heartland and experienced the zip line, right? Yeah, see there? Excuse me. That is a, it's an interesting thing, right? Right? So thank you, ladies, for going down. It was great. Much more to come in the fall as we move into the winter time, lots going on. So thank you so much. Reach Conference. I tell you what, kids, if you've not, students, kids, I shouldn't say that, right? Students, if you've never been to Reach, you need to go to the Reach Conference. I was a youth leader for quite a few years back in the day, and we went to the, what we called youth convention back then. It wasn't called Reach. Most of the time it was down in Columbus. I've testified before we went down there and lost one of the pastor's kids, and he was hanging out with the band. But I tell you what, the youth conferences at Reach, boy, do they rock. Right, oh my gosh. So if you want to, you got to go. Sign up, as Pastor Mike talked about, on the QR code on your bulletin or at the VIP center when you leave today, right? All right, we are in a series called Divine Shift. And there are sermon notes. If you scan that QR code in your bulletin today, folks, you can go right to the notes because I'm going to tell you, you're going to need to look at the notes in between each Sunday. Why? Because this crazy guy is introducing more Greek words today, right? And some Hebrew, right? Now, I'm no scholar in the Hebrew and the Greek, but I feel like I'm getting a great education on more and more. We've studied that in the past. If you've gone through seminary or some of the Christian education to get to be a pastor, you know what I'm talking about. You get some of these classes, and some of the things you say, boy, I'm glad I'm through that class, right? Right, Pastor Mike? Boy, we don't want that class. It was a little bit, right? So Hebrew and the Greek, but we'll do a couple of them today. But we're talking about a divine shift. And a divine shift is all through God's word. And a lot of times, we just don't see it. We don't see it. We don't understand it. We miss it. I just talked about a divine shift happening around the table when Jesus was having the Last Supper. He was talking about a shift that was coming. The shift was from the law that they had been living under into a grace scenario, which they didn't even understand at the point of time, before he was betrayed. And there's this, and they just didn't get it. They weren't understanding it. Some of the light bulbs were going on, some were not. lots going on. But what is that word shift? It's talking about a change. It's talking about a change, or what the Bible talks about is a repositioning. You know, I know that I talked a few times of how I just had this thing growing up where I just saw my spiritual mind's eye, right? That God just got this, like, chessboard in heaven, and I'm on that chessboard, and so are you, and he just kind of moves us around exactly where he needs us to be. And we've got to be willing to do that, and that's the shifting that the Bible talks about. And let me do a quick review. I talked to some people this morning that said they have not been able to see last week's message yet. I want to do a quick review. Last week, we talked about a timing shift. Understanding God's timing is the key to unlocking your divine shift in your life. You've got to understand the timing. And so we talked about that last week. And God's word says, for everything, there's a season. Ecclesiastes talks about that. Everything has a season. And for every matter under heaven, there's time. The Bible talks about seasons in your life, the timing in those seasons, and then the timing in between the seasons. There's lots of time there, right? So there's seasons and time. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, we introduce to you the tribe of Issachar, where it states in God's word, there were 200 leaders. Now, this is where David is going to be anointed the king. All the tribes of Israel are banding together, coming together to adopt him as king. They want a new king, right? And so all these tribes are coming together. They're bringing men, equipment, resources. But this tribe brings 200, the lowest amount of people that came. But they brought a very specific thing. They brought this, 200 leaders of the tribe with their relatives. And all these men understood the signs of the time. And then they knew the best course of action for Israel to take. I got a feeling, church, that there are some men in the Middle East that understand the times and what position Israel should take. If you have been watching the news, it's kind of crazy. The country of Israel is moving into, basically they've been at war for what, a year now, for what had taken place. And if you're not watching the news, you probably should be, because you are watching prophetic end times thing be revealed to you every single day. Because still to this day, just like this tribe, there are men in Israel that understand the signs of that time. And then what to do at that time. And that's what we're talking, the shift. Seasons shift, and then the timing in those seasons also shift. I introduced to you the seasons the Bible talks about last week. Two primary seasons. The Greek word neos, season, is a duplication of the season you had in the past. I use this car analogy, right? The new cars are released each year in the new models, and some of them are just a duplication of the previous year model. They added a couple features, but it's pretty much the same. So there's a duplication. God will do that in our lives. He'll duplicate something that he has done in the past into our current season. That's a neos, Greek neos, new, right? He also does another one. It's charis. That's the Greek word charis. We introduced that one last week as well. That means the season is the right time, the opportune time, a strategic time for you. It's a charis season. We introduced two things that affect your seasons and what goes on. We talked about the time, the chronological time, which is chronos time. Chronos time is just, it's in order. It's what you're living today. In order time. Right? And how do you know that? Because we all have this watch, or we have a clock that says this is the time of day. It's the time. That's the time of your season. It's chronological time. Chronos time. Greek, right? And so there's that chronological time and Kairos time, which is a strategic time. Those are times. So we have seasons, neos, a duplication. Kainos season, which is a new creation season. You've got time in those seasons, a chronos, chronological time, and kairos time, it is the right time, the opportune time, the strategic time. I don't mean to confuse you or get out of order, but so you got these seasons and those times in those seasons. I tried to make it as simple as we can. That's how God functions. right? Seasons and time. You're sitting in it today, church, right? And then there's two things that affect the time in your life and what happens to getting to what is a kairos or a right time, opportune time, strategic time, some outpouring in your life, this strategic thing that God gives you, the shift, this thing that you need, maybe you've been waiting for, or maybe God just gives you and you didn't even realize you were getting it, but it's the kairos time. But there's two things that affect whether you arrive at that time in your life, whether you get the strategic outpouring. Perseverance and faithfulness are the two core things that we talked about last week. Perseverance, and we talked about Galatians 6:9. It says like this, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. That's the perseverance and the faithfulness. And then it says, at just the right time. There it is, folks, there it is. That is the kairos time, the right time. God will select, that's the right time. You will reap a harvest of blessing if you don't give up. Perseverance and faithfulness shows up again. Shows up at the beginning of that scripture, shows at the end, and right in the middle is the right time. That's why the scripture is there, right? So, seasons, a duplication of your season, your previous season, a new season, which is a kainos season, timing in those seasons, chronos time, which is chronological time. Kairos is the right time for you or me. So in essence, our lives are made up of new seasons with shifting time in each season. Lots going on. And then, to top it all off, we talked about another Greek word called plero, which means the fullness of that time of season. The fullness of it, right? It's full. How many of you would say that, yeah, my time is this, but it's just not that full. It's not that exciting, right? The Bible says Greek word plero means fullness or accomplishment or it's complete. Galatians 4:4, but when the right time came, the kairos time, God sent his son, born of a woman, at the right time. And then the fullness of that season is a plero, Greek, right? After years of chronos time, which is chronological time, a kairos time, outpouring of strategicness, shows up with a plero event. It's full. Jesus accomplishes all of that. He was everything, and there's the scripture that shows that. Lots of what we did last week, right? A divine shift in our lives, though, requires something of us, which we'll talk about today. It's going to require us, church, to think different. And that's the title of the message today. Let's think different. Excuse me. Let me give you an example. Thinking differently. So when I grew up, my mom took me to church. And I learned that we're going to church. Many of you did the same, right? Going to church. But at some point in my life, I can't say the exact day, it wasn't when I was saved, I began to make a shift from thinking about going to church to shifting to being the church. I had to think different. And many people still think of it today as going to church. Yeah, we're going to church, but you're going to church because you are the church. So the church needs you to be there because you are part of it. You are it. Not just here at Cross Point, but the church of Jesus Christ. You are part of it. You make it up. Excuse me. It's a different thinking, right? It's a different thought process. But there's some people that never got beyond thinking it's just going to church. They never made the divine shift. They never shifted. So they think, I gotta go to church. I gotta go to church. And it's kind of a weighing you down thing. Like, I gotta go to church sometimes. I see it different. Many of you see it different because you're thinking differently. Now you're shifted to think differently. I am that part that needs to be there. If I am not there today, they're missing that piece of the church, and that's me. Because I offer something, because God has something for me. Boy, you're going to see some things today, church. Church, right? So the church is not just the place that we go, but it is who we are. It's a shift of thinking. And we're to jump right into Joshua chapter 1 And we're to stay there most of the morning because in Joshua chapter 1 is a huge shift, individual shift of many lives. And I'm going to teach you some things today that you're going to say, wow, I need to get those notes online to scan that QR code because you're going to need them. Because we're going to teach you to think different today. We're going to teach you to think different. Israel was moving into a kairos, supernatural, strategic, right time moment. We're going to use the story in Joshua where the changing of the leadership took place from Moses to Joshua. And how people had to start thinking differently, not only the leadership and everybody involved, but all the people that were following, the millions of people that were moving towards the Jordan River to cross over the river into the promised land is the story. The Israelites go through one of the greatest shifts in human history. They were shifting. So if we can remember the strategies God gave the Israelites back then, that will assist each and every one of us today when you want to experience the fullness, the plural season, the fullness of your current season, the time of that. Okay? So there are many strategies I'm going to introduce to you today with lots of scripture. So I'm going to ask that we think differently today, folks, and we think about the strategies. And you watch how the word of God's going to pop and really make you start to think differently. You're looking for this divine shift in your life. Or maybe you're saying, Pastor, I'm fine right where I'm at. But God wants to shift you into a new location, new situation, new place in your life. And that's going to require all of us to start to think a little bit different. So I'm going to give you 9 strategies this morning, church, to think different. The first one I'm going to talk about is think different about your responsibility. Think different about your responsibilities. God will do what only He can do. But we must do what He expects us to do. God doesn't need us. God wants us. See, church, it's dangerous to believe that God will make sure we always get to that fullness or plural season no matter what we do. That if we just stay vigilant, we'll always get there. And that's not necessarily true because in Joshua and throughout some of the scripture, it talks about them going towards the promised land, which we'll explain a little bit more here in a second. But you know the scripture talks about the generation died off. They didn't make it. Why? It took a lot longer than they thought because they weren't faithful and they didn't persevere. And God finally said, okay, maybe somebody else is up for the task, right? Okay, let's jump into Joshua 1:2. It goes like this. Moses, my servant, is dead. God's speaking to Joshua. My servant who has led you is now gone. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites, the gift. You know, we read that scripture, folks, and we are just kind of like attuned to the fact that he says, Moses, my servant, he's dead. And yes, he makes that announcement. But folks, they already knew that. Why? Moses was dead, right? I'm going to ask you to think differently today. See, we look at that and say, Moses is dead. But God was revealing a shift that was going on here. He's not just announcing that Moses is dead because they knew that. He was announcing a shift, and the shift was this. It's now your time. Joshua, it's now your time. Folks, it's now your time. You may be in a situation now that God wants to shift you to, and it's now your time. And so he's saying to Joshua, it is now a shift. It is now your time. And Joshua, it's your turn. Time to accept the responsibility and think differently. Don't think just because he's dead that no one's going to lead you. Don't think because he's no longer here that there's no way, no pathway forward. There is a pathway forward, and you're it. Church, you're it. God has divinely shifted in that scripture to a new leader. And then the scripture says this, it says, I am about to give. That implies responsibility. Give. I'm going to give you something. Give. The Hebrew word for give is Nathan. That means I am now going to give you an assignment, is what it means in the Greek. I'm going to give you an assignment. Church, you got an assignment coming. That's what it says. It's not just you're going to cross some water. You've got a responsibility. What's the responsibility? The Hebrew says you have the responsibility of an assignment I'm going to give you, is what it means. There's an assignment coming. Can you imagine what their thought process was? I'm about to give you this. Are you up to the responsibility of accepting the assignment? Do you remember back in Genesis 12:7? Let's go back to Genesis 12:7. It said like this, then the Lord appeared to Abram. We talked about this, right? The Bible says, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I will give this land to you and your descendants, to your descendants. The land they're about ready to inhabit, crossing this river, was, of course, mentioned years and years earlier. I'm going to give. Give means I got an assignment for you. I'm going to give you this land, and I got an assignment for you to do it. I'm assigning this land to you. But they would have to go and possess it to fulfill the assignment. And isn't it just like life? That God wants you to do something, and there's this obstacle in the way to get there. In this case, it's a physical river, but there's a whole lot more going on than just a river, right? God wants me to do this, but I can't afford to do it. God wants me to do this because I can't get there. I don't have the resource or whatever. And then, you know, we always start to look at the obstacle in front of us instead of the assignment given to us. We look at the obstacle more than we look at the assignment. Same thing applies here. Same for us, right? We not only accept assignments from God, but we move responsibly through them to reach the fullness of them. That's what we have to do, right? We all accept the assignments, but to receive the fullness of the assignment, you got to walk into the assignment. You got to do it. So there they stand on the edge of a river, on the bank of a river. The assignment is in front of them. It's given to them. Go get it. And they got some decisions to make. They got to start to think differently. Point two, think different about having great faith. We got to think different about having great faith. Divine shifting requires more faith than normal chronological living in time, chronos time. You know, living just every day to day takes some faith. But when you want to inherit the assignment God gave you, it's going to take a lot more faith. If you want to do what God's called you to do, God's led you to do, wants you to do, assigned to you to do, it's going to take a lot more faith. You got to start thinking differently about that. You need more faith. Watch what happens. Joshua 1:2, get ready to cross the Jordan River. Now, I don't think I could have put a scripture in there to speak more to this than that today. Get ready. Get ready for your assignment. Why is that so important? Because this was not a normal river at normal time. Joshua 3:15 says it was hurricane time. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during the harvest. I don't know if you've watched the news this past week, church, about the hurricane down south and all the devastation. And I looked at those pictures and the rushing water and the devastation. And God says, that's the obstacle. I was like, almost fell off of my chair. So, the river's at flood stage. It's racing. And my assignment's on the other side of the river. It was given to me as an assignment. I got to go there. To receive the fullness of my assignment, I got to think differently, and I've got to go on the other side. It's impassable. which means it's impossible. However, great faith rises up. It's what I call but God faith. But God faith. The same things that you and I face today, church, we have to say, but God faith, rise up. Right? We have to believe that God is going to come through and do his part. That's the impossible. To get us where we need to be to execute on our assignments. We need that great faith at that time, right? Point three, think different about being flexible. We got to think different. You want to get a divine shift in your life. God's moving you to a new position. We've got to be flexible. And you would think flexibility is not even in the scripture, but you're going to find out it is in the Joshua chapter 1. Joshua 1:11, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves within 3 days. You will cross over to the Jordan River. Then you will go possess the land which the Lord God is giving you to possess. They were in the wilderness for 40 years, church. They became, this ain't never going to happen. You know, you just know the mindset of what's going on after 40 years, the same thing you and I do all the time. You know, we're tired of waiting, right? Church, come on, am I the only one that gets tired of waiting, right? We're tired of waiting. And all of a sudden, the command goes out, get your stuff together, you've got 3 days, we're moving out. 3 days. Church, how many of you are sitting here watching online that God says, I've had you in this position for 50 years. Get ready. You're moving in 3 days. You're being shifted in 3 more days. You better get your stuff together. Better clean up things. Break down your tents. You're moving out in 3 days. The shift comes suddenly. And we need to be flexible. When God is going to move us from one location to the other, one situation to the other, you've got to be flexible. Here's what we don't do all the time, right? Why does God do that? I have my personal opinion. Here's why I think he does it. He doesn't want to give us a lot of time to think about it. I don't think God wants to. He wants us shifted, repositioned. I think he doesn't give us a lot of time sometimes because he doesn't want us to think too much about it. Why? We won't do it. I ain't going there. I ain't doing that, right? I call that, you've heard this, paralysis of analysis. We hear it all the time around church. Pastor, let me pray about it, and I'll get back to you. Right? Come on, right? Pastor, let me pray about that, and I'll get back to you. When? I don't know. When God speaks, I'll get back to you. Okay. I'm okay. How do you argue with that, right? Pastor Mike, Christine, right? Nicole, right? How do you argue, right? It's okay. That sometimes means, let me think about it. I don't know if I want to do it. Maybe God wants you to do it, right? Got to think differently about being flexible. Church, maybe God wants you just to step out in 3 days. If the Israelites had 40 years to think about it, and they heard it, and they knew it, and they knew it was going to take place, and many of them, didn't make it, the next generation had to rise up, and then all of a sudden they're told, you're going out in 3 days, you've got to wonder what they were thinking. What? That's a hurricane river now, today. When I've got to cross that, and I got 3 days to prepare? No, you had 40 years to prepare, right? Number four says we got to think about the basics. Think differently about the basics, right? When Joshua was about to lead the generation of Israelites into the fullness of God, he put great emphasis on just the basics. See, we're really good at going deep and want the revelation of God, and we want this lightning bolt. And God just says, listen, think differently. Just do the basics. Watch what the word says in Joshua 1:8. It says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything that's written in it. Then you will be prosperous and you will succeed. What's that mean? It's not the great revelations of life that God wants us to stay attuned to. It's the basics to start, focus on the Word, spend time with God, fellowship with believers, stay in prayer. Those are the basics. And if you do those, you're divinely shifting, repositioning your mind, and you're thinking differently. It's not sometimes, church, it's this real deep revelation from heaven. It's just you being faithful and persevering to the basics. And so Joshua is just going to be faithful and persevere in the basics. It's the reason the church is launching a Bible Essentials class on October 9th, Wednesday night. Bible Essentials, basics. We forget the basics because we're people that are looking for the powerful, inspirational, deep revelation of heaven, and we just forget the basics, right? How about this one, church? Think different about the past promises. Joshua 1:6, think different about the promises God gave you in the past. Joshua 1:6, be strong and courageous, for you shall give these people possession of the land which I swore, which means I promised to you and their forefathers, your forefathers, that I gave them. That's the Abraham promise. I swore that. I'm going to give it to you now. I promised. Now, that was years earlier, of course, but that's what God spoke in the past. It's the same type of promise that he speaks to when Paul speaks to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:8. He says, Timothy, my son, I'm giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made over you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well. I got a feeling, church, everybody in the house today and everybody watching online has had a promise God gave you and fulfilled that promise. You've got at least one that you could reach back to and say, wow, he gave me this. He is going to give me this shift in my life, whatever that may be. Just look at the promises in the past and what God fulfilled in your life and use it as a weapon. God did this for me. I know he'll do this shift for me. God blessed me here because I lived it. He promised, and I walked into that promise, right? So what was about to happen to the Israelites wasn't only about them. It was also about Abraham and the others before him, and then the future generations to come after them, which is you and I. A divine shift in their life moving across that river was going to affect me and you today. And it did. And it does. Let's move on. Point six. Think about differences about obedience. Oh, here we go, right? Boy, this is so cliche. I've heard this a million times, Pastor. Be obedient, you know. Boy, you're going to see something here jump out at you into just a handful of scriptures. Be obedient, right? Think differently about obedience. It sounds so obvious. In Joshua chapter 1, the reference to the word command, or I command you to do something, shows up eight times. Eight times. For example, it's like this. God commanded Joshua. Joshua commanded the leaders. The leaders commanded the people. God referred back to what he had previously commanded. Command, command, command. If there's a command from heaven, church, we are obedient to follow the command. Okay? It's got to be important. He said it eight times in one chapter, right? Eight times in one chapter. Then he moves to this phrase. I wasn't going to read the whole chapter. You'll just have to read it on the notes. Be careful to do. He mentions in Joshua 1, just be careful to do twice. And then he references twice the word obey or obeyed twice. Eight commands. Four more obediences. 12 times in just one chapter. In Joshua chapter 1, he is saying be obedient by these commands or obey this. Be obedient to follow. How many chapters are there in God's word? Times, maybe if it's five times a chapter, let's just say. How many times? That's how important it is my point. Obedience in one chapter is mentioned 12 times. 12 times, church. Point seven, think different about the battles you will fight. What? You got to fight a battle? Yep, we fight battles every day. What? The fact that we move from this chronos, chronological season of time, into kairos, which is the right time, and then into the fullness of that time God takes you to, well, that's the plural, it doesn't mean your struggles are over. It doesn't mean you have no more battles to fight. It doesn't mean you're done. It doesn't mean that there's nothing else you have to worry about. It just means he brought you to the fullness of that time. So we need to think differently about these battles that are these trials and tribulations in our lives, church. Why? Because the closer you get to victory, the fiercer the battle becomes. The closer you get to that victory, the fiercer your battle is going to become. You could be sitting here today or watching online, and you are in this battle. And I'm here to tell you, you're close, because the battle is getting really fierce, means the enemy is attacking even more and more, because that shift is coming and the enemy does not want you there. You're a core critical component to repositioning something for heaven, and God needs you to do it and shift, and the enemy does not want you near that, whatever that is. Because God's identified you on an assignment, just like he did back in Joshua chapter 1. You've been identified, right? See, when we say, I can't take much more, it means you are almost there. Why? Because the Bible says that God will never take you beyond what you can endure. The Bible says that. I will never take you beyond your limits. Never. So when you say, I am at my wit's end, I can't endure any more, means you're almost there. To what? The shift, the repositioning, the change, the transition in your life. You're there. And we think differently about that fight. Joshua 1:3 says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, that means step on the land, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Now speaking to Joshua, tread, the Hebrew word derek, D-A-R-A-K, the Hebrew word derek, the rock. What does that mean? That Hebrew word means I am in a warrior's march. I'm in a warrior's march. You and I are in a warrior's march. And what does that Hebrew word mean? It means I've got this bow, and I'm going to pull it back. And that's what it means. And I'm going to hold it there because I'm going to take the land. And I'm going to strategically look for those enemies with that spiritual bow, and I'm going to get them. I'm a warrior for heaven. And I'm on assignment for Jesus, right? It says to bend the bow, to ready the bow, and then to shoot that arrow is what that Hebrew word derek means. See, this Hebrew word is still used today, church, in the Israeli army for a commandment. It's used today. It's being used as you sit here today. Why? It says, load your weapons. Get ready for the march. Exactly what you're watching on the news, the country of Israel doing. God wasn't telling Israel that everywhere they walked or stepped was theirs. When he says, as your foot treads on the land, he's not saying, I'm just going to bless you with it without anything that you need to do. See, he had marked off the perimeter for their inheritance. He was saying, though, every place that you are willing to load your weapon and take it, I'm going to give it to you, is what that means. The same thing it means today, church. Everywhere you are willing to go for heaven, that God is sending you to shift your life. If you are ready to accept the assignment, go in as a victory marcher, like to battle. Pull back that arrow, spiritual, and you're willing and ready to go and do what God's called you to do, then I will give you that land. Then I will give you that inheritance. Then, and you're watching history. prophetic history happen on the news every day. And they're using this same phrase today in that army. It's current. Just like it's current for you and I today. Every place that you are willing to load your weapons and go take, I'm going to give it to you. Are we willing to load our weapons as the Church of Jesus Christ and take that assignment and shift our lives and think differently? Are we? See, church, destiny is always contested. Always contested. And we must realize that the devil will always try to steal our destiny from us. How do I know that? John 10:10, the thief comes only to kill and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and they may have it to the full. What full? The fullness full. The plural full. 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 Big. That's what it means. Number 8, think differently about your need for help. Think differently about your need for help. Why don't we like to ask for help, church? In Joshua 1, 12 through 18, God mentions the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh. You can go back and read it. It's so long, I just didn't have the time this morning to have it, but you could go back on the notes and read about it. There's 3 tribes. God gave them an inheritance on the east side of the Jordan River. But the rest of them had to go and inherit the land. And Moses was told that they would still need help to do it. And just because you have already been successful or somebody else has been successful in getting that divine shift in their life doesn't mean you don't need help from them. Or it doesn't mean you can't help somebody else do it. Because God was telling Moses and telling Joshua, listen, these 3 tribes are okay, but the rest of them still need some help. Get those 3 tribes to go help those. You're just because you got your assignment and got your victory and you marched in that land doesn't mean your time is over. It means now you're going to shift and go help somebody else that hasn't arrived yet. There are people sitting in our worship center today, people watching online that need us. And that's why we do what we do. That's why we have the classes we do. That's why we do what we do. That's why we help each other, because there's people that need us. If God has blessed you and given to you, you are expected to go help somebody else. It doesn't mean you don't still need help. But then if we're walking as the Church of Jesus Christ, then somebody else will come alongside you and help you. So he tells Joshua and he told Moses, get these tribes to go help the rest of them. You'll be victorious. See, church, in order to stand together, we've got to fight together. You are not called to go it alone. We are not called to go it alone. Last point before we wrap up, we got to think differently about peace. What? Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The word dismayed, the Hebrew word for that is chadeth, to crack or break. And God tells Joshua, this is going to be stressful. But while you're under stress back then, and while you and I are under stress in our lives today, it's going to be stressful. Don't crack or don't break. I gotcha, is what it means. I have you. Getting ready to cross this river that is at hurricane forces, at flood stage, because the harvest is there, the water is pounding. I got you. If you believe and trust me and don't crack or break, I got it. Think differently, church. You are not going it alone. You are not in it by yourself. Your church walks with you, but more importantly, the Lord Jesus Christ stands with you. You're watching from the hospital room this morning, as you mentioned to me this morning you would. God is with you today. He hasn't left you. Colossians 3:15, watch what it says. And let the peace. Think differently. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and then be thankful. And then there's the word let. That means choice. That means decision time. It doesn't say the peace will be with you. It says let the peace be with you. Why? Because you could tell the peace, I don't want you. I don't want it. So he says, let it be. Let it come in. Let God's peace, think differently. Let it happen. You have opportunity to go get it, which I'll give you in a minute. See, we got to think different today, church. For this repositioning, we got to think differently. I will tell you, there are people throughout our world, as you watch the news, they're thinking differently today. Some people don't agree with them. Others do. But they're thinking differently, right? We've got to allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. It's a choice. It is a decision. What's shifting me, Pastor, to change or reposition, which requires thinking differently? You can stay thinking the same old, and then you would wonder why God doesn't shift you to some new thing. You got to think differently. I just gave you the 9 strategies that he laid out for Joshua, getting ready for the biggest individual shift in the history of our word, God's word. Millions of people getting ready to shift individually from what they were doing and what where they used to be to where they're headed and what they will be doing. An assignment. Huge shift in individual lives. A shift in Joshua's life. Now he's not going to think as the second in command. He will think as the first in command. Wow, that's a big shift. Many of us today are wondering what God's going to have for us, what shift is coming our way. We got to start thinking differently. I am going to give you that opportunity right now if you just bow your hearts, close your eyes, and think about those things. Think about those things in your life that you just got to think differently about. I gave you the 9 strategies from Joshua 1. I would encourage you to study more about them. There's so much more there than I could do on a Sunday morning. But you may be sitting here today or watching online saying, I got to think differently, and you're struggling with that. I want to pray for you today. Again, as I say almost every Sunday, I'm not going to call you down front. I certainly won't call your name out, but I certainly would like to see a hand when I call for a hand. You need to think different today. Think different. It's a struggle. The enemy doesn't want you thinking differently if God's going to shift you into something powerful or give you an assignment. He doesn't want you anywhere near it, but today I'm going to pray for that. So if that is you today, church, and you're struggling, I just want to pray. If you're struggling today with shifting, repositioning something in your life, whatever that may be, and you need to think different, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Raise it up high. I want to pray for you today. So many hands, too many to count. Anybody else? Too many hands. Anybody else? From the front to the back, from side to side, I see so many hands. Is there anybody else? God's going to shift you. God's going to get you thinking differently today. Don't walk out of here after I pray not thinking God's not going to do what he said he's going to do. He's going to do exactly what he says he's going to do. Let the peace of God fill your life. Walk out today saying, God, I'm here for you. I'm ready for that battle march. I'll pull back the bow on that arrow, and I will go marching that spiritual march. Father God, in Jesus' name, Father, you saw so many hands in the worship center today. Lord, I don't even know how many hands were raised online today. For those listening on our podcast in the days and weeks to come, Lord, as they raise their hand as well. Father God, I pray right now that you teach us and help us to think differently. Lord God, you have laid out 9 strategies in Joshua 1 alone that I spoke of today. Lord God, allow us to leave the worship center today, turn off our device, and Lord God, those that raised their hands, those that didn't, Lord God, I pray, Lord God, you supernaturally reveal the shift to them, that they start to think differently. Let them realize that if they want to be shifted, repositioned, inherit that assignment, they got to think differently. Lord God, I gave them the 9 strategies. Lord, I pray right now they think differently. They meditate on those strategies throughout this week. And they return next week, Lord, to learn more about this divine shift that you have going on. Lord, you have laid this on my heart. I have preached it as you have called me to do. So, Lord God, those that raised their hands and even the ones that didn't, I pray, Lord God, this morning, you reveal exactly how they need to think differently today. Whatever that entails, Lord, let them think differently. Let them leave the worship center today thinking differently, Lord. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Church, let's just give heaven a praise offering today. Give him a praise offering. Stand with me. I just think we go out of the worship center today. Let's just praise him. Hallelujah.